And you thought you guys, I really thought I was going to come out here and you're like, oh man, switching bait. John's up here today. We could have stayed home. Yeah. Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning. I want to welcome the Fredericksburg campus. I want to give a special shout out to our Bealeton campus. Yeah, come on. And then our folks at home that are still in your pajamas, sipping hot coffee, God bless you. We love you too, okay? If you're new to the Mount, my name is John Cook, and I am the pastor of Care and Counseling here, and it's really exciting to be here with you guys. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, so if you guys want to prepare for that, open up your Bibles, open up your apps, all of that stuff, we can certainly do that. I've got to tell you a story, so everybody kind of lock in for a minute. It was the fall of 1995, I believe it was. So it was almost 30 years ago. My wife, my family, and I, we had just started coming to church. I did not grow up in the church. I did not really have any faith until about 1995 is when I had my first experience, my encounter with Jesus, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. My family and I, we started attending church regularly, and I've told some of you this story before, but I think it's very appropriate for today, because we went, and I just felt dirty, if that makes sense. I was a very, very sinful man. And lived a lot for myself and lived in the world for quite a while. And so coming to church, and maybe one or two of you can relate with this. I thought the first time I stepped in church, there was a strong possibility that I'd get struck by lightning. I was really quite pleased when that didn't happen. And then come to find out, God really doesn't do that. He wants us here. But I'd been going, and the only place I really felt comfortable were with the teens. Part of that is just because of, you know, I was, 27 years old going on about 14, but that's beside the point. I would go outside, and I would shoot baskets with the teenagers or throw the football or whatever they were doing. I was very hesitant to speak with the adults because I never felt like I belonged there at all. And then this fall Sunday morning, we came, and believe it or not, I was kind of low-key. I know you guys would never believe that, but I kind of tried to stay in the background. And this one Sunday morning particularly, the deacon, the gentleman that was over all of our youth group, he said, listen, I need some help today, and I was wondering if you could help me. He goes, we're taking a bunch of teens up to Richmond for this afternoon for a short retreat. We'll be back by 7 o'clock tonight. Would you mind driving a van? And it really took me by surprise. And my first thought was, oh, you have no idea who I am. I'm that guy. I'm that guy. I've got lots of sin. And you don't want to trust me with your kids, and you definitely don't want to trust me with your van, and you really don't want to trust me with your kids. I'm like, but the words that came out of my mouth was, yes. I got to be honest with you, I was scared. And I'm like, I know how to drive. It's not that big of a deal. I can just go there and bring them back, and it's not like I got to preach to them. Thank goodness, because I can't even find where Matthew is in the Bible. I tell you what, that from that day, within 6 years of that day of saying yes, my life was completely transformed. I had, within that six-year time period, my wife and I, we quit our jobs, we sold our house, we moved to Arkansas, where I not only attended, but graduated seminary. Yeah. We took We took a freshman in college, a junior in high school, and an 18-month-old, and moved to Arkansas, just outside of, yes, this is a very real place, Toad Suck, Arkansas. Yeah. Went to school there. And now, 30 years later, I get to stand before you all and all of you online and at Bealeton and Fredericksburg, and I have the great privilege to speak to you about Jesus. And it all started with a very timid, a very frightened, almost overwhelmed yes. Our church, we exist for one more. We believe, and I like putting it this way, we believe that there is always room in the end for one more. There's always room in heaven and in the kingdom for one more. And so everything we do feeds that. From the gathering that we talked about last week to the giving that we'll be talking about. And then today, what we're going to be talking about is volunteering. By simply saying yes to volunteering, my life, my family's life, God love them, has been changed, and the trajectory of my life has completely changed. And I'm so grateful for it. The account that I want to share with you out of Luke chapter 5, it's one of my favorite accounts, and it's the calling, if you've got in the NIV, it says the calling of the apostles, the first apostles. I really believe that, or the first disciples, and it's, I believe it is really the focus, and you'll see the main focus of the passage is this calling of this gentleman called Simon, who will eventually become that we know as Peter. And it is with his profession of faith that Jesus says that he will build this church, and the gates of Hades cannot stand against it. And I will tell you, I resonate with Peter. Peter says some pretty stupid things. I may have done that a few times. Peter is very impetuous. But as you read this initial encounter with Peter, and then you read his letters in the end, you see an absolute transformation of a man. And so let's go ahead and dive into Scripture, and I'll kind of parse this apart for you. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats and began, one of the boats that belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. We're going to see here in just a second, Peter, Simon, is going to have two options. Jesus is going to present him with two options. And the first option is to stay near the shore. And I will tell you, for our lives and for my life, I kind of like staying near the shore. Because if I can stay near the shore, I've got control of it. I know what's there. It doesn't really require that much from me. It's kind of easy. It's the idea of safety in there. You know, if the boat springs a leak, I just need to step out and take a step, and I'm on the shore, okay? And I think that's a lot of us, is that we're able to, we like the shore. It's what we know. And I know I'm not the only person that thinks this way. I'm afraid to do anything new. I'm hesitant to do anything new, because what if? It really does become what if. You know, the old joke, what could possibly go wrong? There's a lot of things that could go wrong, and I can give you a list of them. And so, because of that, we will stay near the shore. But what we're going to see here in just a second, there's a second option that Jesus gives to Peter. He goes on, starting in verse 4. He says, and this is Jesus, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night long and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Now, let me kind of set the scene. Many of you are going to be incredibly familiar with the story, okay? We're going to find here in just a second that Peter and the boys are going to catch so much fish that their boats began to sink. They went from being completely skunked that night. And I will tell you that I believe that Peter, he was sitting there, and there was a sense of honor that it probably a combination of a sense of honor that Jesus chose to step into Peter's boat and asked him to push off just a little bit, all right? And I think Peter was even kind of listening to some of the things that Jesus was talking about. But I'll tell you, when we don't feel like we measure up, I know when I don't feel like I measure up, it's easy for me to dismiss the thing that Jesus actually stepped into my boat, that Jesus is actually mindful of me. And so if that's you today, I need for you to hear this. Jesus is stepping into your boat. Jesus wants to enter our lives. Jesus wants us to go from just the shoreline. And I love this, because this is the second option that Jesus gave to Peter. He goes, go into deep waters. Jesus is calling us, and I firmly believe this, each and every one of us, and the deep waters are going to look different, but he is calling us to deep waters. To deep waters. And this is the problem with deep waters. It actually requires something of us. I like being a consumer. I like just picking and choosing. I like taking scripture and choosing it, like treating it almost like a buffet. Oh, I really like that one. That one I may actually put on a bumper sticker. That one there about me having to forgive before I get off my out? No, I'm not doing that. We can't pick and choose. We can't treat Jesus in Scripture as a buffet. It's there. It's ours. And we need to take it. But Jesus is saying, listen, if you'll do this, if you'll go out into the deeper water, understand this, I'm with you. I'm not sending you out in the boat all by yourself. I'm with you. Let's go into deeper waters. And I will tell you this, there's a lot that we get when we choose to get away from the shore and go to the deeper waters. I will tell you this, I am not a fisherman, nor am I a hunter. I've posted that online. I am fully aware that if the zombie apocalypse actually happens, I am one of the first people to get eaten. A country boy may survive, John Cook will not, okay? I'm okay with that, all right? I have friends that have arsenals. Maybe I can live with them for a while, okay? But I know this, if all I do is fish by the shore, I'm only gonna catch small things. I believe that there is actually a fish, and I've heard this, it's called a crappie. We find the crappies in the shallow water by the shore. But it's in the deep water. See, I like seafood. I like tuna. I like swordfish. I like mahi. I like wahoo. I don't know what crappie is, and I don't want to eat anything that's called that. Okay? It's just an idea. And Jesus is calling us, and he constantly gives us an opportunity. Go into deep waters. This is what I find in the deep waters, and is out of this passage. Starting in verse 6. Peter's going on, and this narrative is going on. When they had done so, in other words, when they had chosen to go into the deep waters and to let down the nets. And understand, these guys have been working all day long. They've been skunked. I just want to go home. I'm tired. I didn't catch anything, which means I don't have anything to sell, which means I also don't have anything to take home to eat. And if I can't sell anything, I can't buy anything in the market. I just want to go home. It's been a bad day. But he goes out in the deep water, and now Jesus is asking something of him. Put down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. For he, Peter, and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Now again, there are four people that are witnessing this. Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James and John. They're witnessing this. And in this very moment, and most of you know this story about that they caught so much fish, the nets began to break, the boats began to sink. I mean, they went from being completely skunked to they just won the Powerball. And they check the double play, so they get twice as much, okay? Not that I would ever do that. It's just helping the school systems, okay? Yeah. See, this is why you guys love me, because you're never quite sure what's going to come out of my mouth. I get it. All right. Meanwhile, Adam is cringing. All right. He has, yes. Yeah. You agreed way too much on that one, okay? Yeah. They have just landed. I mean, they just went from being completely skunked to overwhelmed. See, when we go into the deep waters, there are much more. We'll find greater rewards in the deep waters. Now, we could say that this passage is all about the miracles of Jesus, and it is, because what Jesus is doing in this very moment, he is showing his authority. Right? He's showing his authority because he's about ready to ask something of Peter, even more than putting the nets down. But because I'm capable of doing this, do I have your attention now? Is what he's saying. I will tell you, the rewards are greater when we go into the deep water. Just as we said, I like tuna, and I really like mahi. Catfish, that's a bottom feeder. I don't want that, okay? I want the big stuff. We could look at this story and miss and think this is all about the abundance of God. We can see the power of God that is working in here. We can see the authority that Jesus has been giving. We can see the overflow of blessing that comes to us. But remember this, this is the calling of the first disciples. This is the calling to Peter specifically. We need to read this as this is Jesus' calling towards us. Now, we may not be fishermen, but how many of us choose to stay near the shore, or are we willing to go into the deep waters? I'm going to go back and want to reread this. And I took a line out very intentionally in this. This is what it says. When they had done so, when they'd thrown those nets and they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partner in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, I will tell you, I believe that in that moment, in hitting the Mega Millions, in hitting the Powerball, he never really saw that. Because the next verse is, the next line, the words that go on say this, that Peter fell to his knees and asked God, in flesh, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. In other words, who am I that you would invite me to go into deep waters with you? Do you not know who I am? Do you not know the sins I have committed? Do you not know the disgusting things I've done? Do you not realize what I'm capable of doing? And Jesus not only realizes it, Jesus saw it, and just in case, if you think we can pull anything off on Jesus, whenever we do anything, guess who's right there with us? Jesus. We can try to think that we can pull the wool over God's eyes. We can't. He was right there. I love this passage because I understand it. It was a simple request. John, will you take these kids to Richmond? It's a 90-mile drive. I can do that with one eye closed. Probably have a few times, but that's beside the point. I can do that. But to really go into the deep waters, who would have known by saying yes? I was going into the deep waters. I don't know where you are with your walk in Scripture. I don't know where folks online, Bealeton, Fredericksburg, I don't know where you are. And maybe some of you have really thought, this whole thing, Jesus, this is great for everyone else, but don't you understand what I have done? And Jesus is saying, oh, I know. I want you. Picture this. Peter's in the boat on his knees. He's at Jesus' feet. He's asked him, go away. It's overwhelming. I can almost see Jesus going, come on. Come on. You've gone into the deep waters with me. You've gone into the deep waters, and I'm so proud of you. See, it's in the deep waters where Peter, see, he'd heard about Jesus. I want to think when they were near the shore, that some of the words that Jesus was even saying was really touching Peter's heart. He's like, wow, this rabbi's really good. Wow, he's connecting some things. But then there's this tear between listening and application. And see, when we go into the deep waters, just like Peter, we go from listening and hearing about Jesus to experiencing Jesus. It's in the deep waters that we get to experience Jesus. It's what happened to Peter. He experienced the awesomeness and the power, the strength, the majesty, the grace. When he called him, Peter, you're my son. I love you. And I'm well pleased with you. And this is just the beginning. The account doesn't stop here. There's one more, and I think this is the most important aspect. And this is the application of the lesson. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. I believe that it is in the deep waters where we actually find our calling. I believe that it's in the deep waters where we actually find our calling. When I stay near the shore, it doesn't require anything of me. And I can wrestle with the question, oh God, what do you want from me? Knowing that I'm not going to move from this spot. It's when we jump in the boat with Jesus and allow him to take us to new places that we will find our calling. Now listen, I am not for a moment suggesting that the only calling is the calling that my family went through. I remember being in seminary, and they pushed so much about foreign missions. And for about a year, I'm like, I am an awful Christian, because the idea of going to a foreign land and being a missionary, just, it's not me. We went to Estonia. We were there for 2 weeks. We landed in JFK. I cried. I was so glad to be back in the United States. I'm thinking, I am just the worst Christian ever. In the first day of a mission anthropology class, our professor came in, and the first thing he said, he goes, listen, not all of you are called to missions, and that's fine. Not all of us are called to full-time ministry, okay? But I will tell you this, each one of us does have a calling. It may be one thing, it may be 10 things. I don't know, but it's what God is calling you to. And I need for you to understand this, it's not really our calling, it's His calling. Because, see, when we go into the deep waters and when we do things like this, when we're in the boat with Jesus, it's all about Jesus. It's about His calling. It's about His kingdom. It's about His glory, not ours. And the benefit, the unexpected joy, the serendipity that we get is just that, joy. I will tell you, for 30 years I've been doing this now, okay? For almost 30 years I've been doing this. It is, hands down, the hardest thing I've ever done. I will equally tell you, it is the greatest adventure and the greatest joy I've ever had. I have cried tears of anguish, and I have cried incredible tears of joy. But it's the calling that God placed on my heart. And even within our own, within your own staff here at the Mount, we have different callings. My calling is apparently to go into when things explode and get really ugly, send John. And I'm like the Labrador retriever. Okay, let's go. Yeah. It's just how God wired me. But I found His calling because I was willing to step out from the shore and jump in the boat. And this is really important. And this is where I get in trouble, when I think for a moment that I'm in the boat by myself. When I am in the boat with Jesus, I don't care how deep the waters get. I'm good. We are good. Because this is for His kingdom. It is for His glory. And just think about this. All the sins that you have done, if our God is able to rise up from the dead, do you think, just maybe, He could take your sins, and I don't know how this worked, but He flips it around and He turns it for good. I will tell you, sitting with people, it's very few times when I'm hearing a story, something that they're going through that I just don't have a file folder in my brain for. I'm telling you, I did a lot of things wrong, okay? I still can. But those sins actually help me relate to where some people are. And hey, listen, this is what I've learned in Jesus and going into the deep water, that He can take that and turn it for good and turn it into a ministry. Every single one in this room has sin in their life. Every single one of us. And if we will allow Jesus to do something miraculous in us, to take us to the deep water, He can redeem those and use that for His good. for his glory. All right, here is the application for you. Today, plain and simple, we are asking everyone, Fredericksburg, Bealeton, online, Stafford, it's time to get away from the shore and go into deep waters. Behind me, there is going to be a phone number that we are asking you. Go ahead. This is peer pressure 101. Pull out your phones. And I'm asking you to text volunteer to that number that's on the screen. I don't know what it would be, and you know what? You may not even know what it would be. But who knows? Maybe your calling is to pour into the next generation. Maybe your calling is just to rock babies. Maybe your calling is to be somebody at a door, that somebody's walking in thinking that there's a chance I'm going to get hit by lightning as soon as I step in here. And all you do is say good morning, and you welcome them. And in that instant, the defenses go down. Maybe this could be a safe place for me. Maybe you have training to be a sheepdog, and your idea is to keep our children safe and to have everyone's back so that all those distractions can go away so that somebody can sit here in this seat and hear Jesus and know that their children are safe, that they are safe, that their family is safe. Maybe it's standing out in the parking lot, and I just want to be somebody who's going to be the very first face that they see, and I'm going to be warm and welcoming, and I got this beautiful fluorescent outfit that they've given me that I can see in the back. Thank you very much. Yes. All right. But what they're doing also, not only helping flow, but they're making sure that people are getting to and from their vehicles safely. They're helping the kingdom. Pastor Dennis has got so many different mission trips going on, domestically, locally, and internationally. Again, if international missions is not your thing, that doesn't make you a bad Christian. But maybe you and I can go down to Brisbane and cook a meal. All right? I don't know what the calling is, but there's plenty of opportunities. There are more opportunities than we have people for. I want to say I'm inviting you, but I will tell you, I believe that it is Jesus who is inviting us to get away from the shore and go into the deep water. And as one person who did that almost 30 years ago, that one simple word, yes, has completely transformed and changed the trajectory of my life forever. And it was an easy yes, though I was scared. I can drive. I may have told you this before. The van I drove belonged to a lady that was about that tall. And the driver's seat was broken. I am 6'4". I drove with my knees around my ears and loving every second of it. Being amazed that God said, hey, John, you can do this. Now, the funny part is when I got there, she goes, oh, you should have told me that. You just need to go underneath the seat. There's a pair of pliers. You just squeeze those and it goes back. And I'm like, too late now. Yeah. As I walked home like this, yeah. So, say yes. Say yes to Jesus. Not to me, not to the church. Say yes to Jesus. And go into the deep waters. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you and I thank you so much for who you are. And I thank you so much that you are actually mindful of us. I'm amazed that who is mankind that you are mindful of us. And yet you are. And as we've seen in Luke's account of the calling of Peter, you're calling us to deeper things. And so God, may we have your courage to move away from the shore and to jump in the boat with you and go into those deep waters. God, I don't know what your calling for each individual person here is, but I know it's this, is to reflect you in all that they do. Give us an opportunity to do that. And may we seize that opportunity. But when we do it, Lord, may we not do it in our own strength and in our own wisdom, but may it be your wisdom, your strength, and most importantly, your power that moves us, your courage that moves us. Who knows what'll happen with a simple yes? Who knows how a trajectory of a life can be changed? You do. May we simply trust in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Now listen, there may be some of you here today that you walked in, the lightning bolt didn't happen, and you're just trying to learn about who this Jesus is. Listen, I'm telling you right now, maybe your first step is just simply get in the boat. It's okay if it's moored right now by the shore. But if you want to get in the boat with Jesus, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to give you that opportunity. That may be your very first step. And if that's you, I'm going to ask that you would pray this prayer. Everyone, let's just do this. Bow our heads, close our eyes. And this is for anybody at Bealton, at Fredericksburg, here in Stafford, online. Lord, I've been afraid to even get in the boat with you. And so today, in your courage, I'm asking that you allow me to step into your boat and that you would become Lord and Savior of my life. I am filthy, I am dirty, and I'm a sinner. And I realize that. I need you. And so today, I'm asking that you would be my Lord and Savior. Lord, save me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And listen, if you prayed that prayer today, I'm going to ask you to do something really bold. You went from not being in the boat to stepping into the boat. And I'm going to ask you to go just a little bit offshore now, just a little bit, because it's time that you hear about Jesus. If you accepted Jesus for the first time today, I'm going to ask that you would simply raise your hand. Our prayer team is going to come around, and if that's you, we just want to get some information to you. Folks in Bealton or Fredericksburg, those are online. If that's you, raise your hand. We want to help you get in the boat with Jesus so that you can go into deep waters. Church, what is your next step? Will you go into deep waters with Jesus by a simple response of yes? Yes.